What's happening, everybody? On today's show, Dan Mullen fired. The Florida Gators moving on from Mullen as Florida loses to Mizzou in overtime. Our winners and losers from SEC Week 12. One more week to go with the season. Upset wins for Shane Beamer, Eli Drinkwitz, Bryce Young making a run for the Heisman, and much more. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. And remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at LockedOnSEC.com. Little different format for today's edition. Normally, we would run through our winners of the weekend. We're going to flip it. We're going to do our losers of the weekend segment here, who do depressed most in the SEC, and we're dedicating the entire segment to Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators. And to help us out is going to be our buddy Brandon Olson, host of Locked On Gators, and he joins us right now. Brandon, man, didn't think we'd be having you on so quickly here on the show, but lo and behold, Florida goes and lays an egg at Mizzou, and Dan Mullen is fired. I guess surprise level from going into this weekend, did you think there was a chance they would lose to Mizzou? And did you think there was a chance that Florida would pull the plug?
There was certainly a chance I thought we'd lose to Mizzou just because, well, why not? They've been awful this year as it's been, so why not lose to Missouri? I will say I did not think that Dan Mullen would get fired because pretty much everything that I had heard and that he had said also, which I get, like, it's hard to just be like, oh yeah, like the coach wouldn't lie to us. But to everything that I had heard was that pretty much win or lose the Missouri game, he was going to get to coach against Florida State and that would decide his future pretty much. And that proved to not be the case after that horrible Missouri game. But hey, maybe it didn't really matter that they lost. Maybe it mattered just how bad the team was during the game more than anything else.
Well, let's go back a little bit because the start of this season, man, you know, it didn't feel like when we were talking about coaches on the hot seat. We knew Coach O was certainly one to be on the hot seat. I had Mike Leach on the hot seat. I thought, you know, if he didn't have a good year at Mississippi State, I thought he could be out. I don't know. I didn't have Mullen in that category. Maybe it's because they finally broke through and won the East last year. I knew I had reservations about them keeping Todd Grantham, and I thought that, you know, could backfire on him, and it did. But I just didn't envision any scenario where Dan Mullen would be fired. What's the fan base reaction been so far?
It's weird because going into the year, yeah, most people weren't calling for his job. And then, you know, the Alabama game was better than we expected. It was a very close game. And then Kentucky happened and everything after that happened. And people, it was very weird because Florida Gators fans were calling for this dude to basically be beheaded. And then when he finally gets fired, everyone's like, oh, but he's such a nice guy. It just didn't work out. He's so good. He's just such a nice guy. It just didn't work out. Meanwhile, during the games, they're like, I don't even care what happens anymore. Like, he deserves to be fired. And it's like, I don't know. They were about it until they weren't about it. Like, once things actually happened, people were upset and, I guess, like, feeling sentimental about it. I don't know. I'm one of the people who, going into the year, I was all about Dan Mullen. And even as things started just spiraling out of control, I was still like, hey, maybe he can get it right. But it was clear over the past couple weeks that what he was doing in Gainesville just was no longer working and wasn't going to be successful. And it seemed like he lost the team.
7 times in a row, they've lost one-score games, 4 one-score losses this season alone. Just could not get it done when they were in close in games. Crazy to hear that stat. But Saturday night, tied game 16-16, just over a minute to go. Florida has the ball at their own 30. They decide to run the ball, run clock, go to overtime. Could have maybe gotten in a field goal range, tried to win it there, but not aggressive at all. Just didn't seem like something Dan Mullen would have done even a year ago. Like, we felt like Dan Mullen was aggressive at times. And this year, man, that kind of went out the window.
Yeah, it was weird because to me, like, again, like, I'm someone who over the past couple of weeks have been like, hey, maybe like Dan Mullen's not the answer, but, you know, given the end of the year and all that stuff. But that Missouri game, the end of it is really when I was like, it's over, you know, just because you have your quarterback who you're like, oh, like, we're confident in Emory. We trust him, even though you spent the whole year proving you weren't by not giving him the opportunity to make these big plays. And I'm not saying Emory's fantastic. I am saying, though, he's better than Dan Mullen has called games for, or Anthony Richardson. I get he's been banged up for a multitude of dumb reasons. But, you know, whatever it may be, he clearly did not have any faith in his team to win this game and or giving Emory or Anthony the chance to win the game. And it was just ugly and disappointing. And at that point is when I was really just like, it's over. He's done for at that point. If you're not trying to win that game right there, then it was cooked.
So the Florida State game remains, hosting FSU, a chance to still get to a bowl game. It's a rivalry game. How motivated is this program and are these players going to be to win this game?
I hope motivated, but I thought they were going to be motivated when Todd Grantham got fired, and then they came out and gave up 52 to Samford. So I don't even know what to say, because I thought I had been told by the couple of people I know in the program that they were like, hey, the players really love Christian Robinson. So I thought, okay, they're going to come out and play their hearts out. And then the Samford game happened, and it was just awful to begin with. Start to finish, it was bad. And then now we had the Missouri game, and with Florida State, I don't know how motivated they're going to be to play for the remainder of the coaching staff here, but I hope that they're pissed about how the season has gone. I hope they understand just how important this game is, because you can still be bowl eligible, and that it's Florida State. Like, you have to come out there and play your heart out against Florida State. You can't let the Seminoles beat you at this point. And it's for bowl eligibility here. So this has to be a time where the players are really sticking with it and hopefully playing the most intense game they've played since they played Bama, because it's been downhill since then.
Well, Florida State's kind of hot. They've won two games in a row, one over Miami. Nobody thought they'd win, and then they beat Boston College. So they're coming in pretty confident in themselves. Let's get to the big one, Brandon. Who's on your wish list? Who, if you could give me some names that you want to see as the next Florida head coach, who would you throw out there?
There's a few names I've seen. I don't like when people are like, oh, Urban Meyer's going to come back. That's not happening. And even if he wanted to, I wouldn't want him back.
He's available. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, he could be. But, he's someone who I'm not super stoked about. I know that people want Will Muschamp. I've seen people come back and say they want Will Muschamp to come back.
Wow.
I don't know why they're like, hey, it worked out horribly last time. It'll be better this time. I've seen Norvell from Nevada. I've seen people want him. I've seen people want pretty much everyone just wants a fun play caller again, which is literally what we just had, but they want a fun play caller again. And that's what we're looking for. And it's honestly, I haven't even narrowed my list down because there's just so many people where it's like, I think these guys, like if we look at Jim Leonard from Wisconsin, someone that I really like, but I don't know if he's head coach material, and I don't know if he's going to be Power 5 SEC head coach material right away. I don't know how he's going to handle it, and I don't know what his coaching staff would look like. So there's a lot of things where I honestly have no idea how this coaching search is going to go, considering there's currently 14 open college football jobs. So, and three are at elite programs, not necessarily football programs this year, but elite programs in general. And it's going to be interesting and exciting, but I do think that Florida is the most enticing one to candidates. That could be a little biased, but I think that Florida should be the front runner for most places, and they've got the money to throw at people so they can make it happen. It's just a matter of really, can they get it right this time? Because Dan Mullen has the third highest win percentage from Florida coaches since 1924, and it still wasn't good enough. Like, the only coaches with higher win percentages were Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, and it still wasn't good enough for Florida because he made a few poor choices early on that kind of spiraled out on him with recruiting and coaching changes and or lack thereof with keeping Todd Grantham. So there's a few things where you look at this game and you look at the team and the program, and it's like, I hope they can get it right this time, because, I mean, expectations are high, and you've got to perform here, and if you don't, then I guess they'll be pretty quick to pull the plug. So I'm excited to see what happens here, and there's a lot of options and a lot of possibilities where it's going to be really fun to have my first full offseason covering the Gators to be this.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. And look, you know, we've been talking about the LSU opening here for a couple of weeks now, and now we had another big time. And this isn't like Vandy, South Carolina openings. These are two massive programs, like you mentioned, not just in the SEC, but across the nation. Two huge brands and two huge fan bases that are hungry, willing to spend the money. They want to they want to take that next step and get back to national relevance. Of course, LSU is only 2 years removed from a title, but Florida not that far removed from winning not one but two national championships of football. So the standard is there. We'll see. You mentioned Jim Leonard at Wisconsin, defensive-minded guy. Wisconsin's been one of the best defenses since he's taken over there, so that's a name to keep an eye on. Let me give you a couple other names that have been thrown around in the LSU coaching search. One is Billy Napier, the Louisiana head coach, ULL, done a great job there. He's a Saban disciple, thought very highly of in a lot of circles. So he's a name I've heard maybe Florida might keep an eye on. And, I think the up-and-coming guys, maybe the Coastal Carolina guy who's had some great success there. Heck, let's get fun. Throw Hugh Freeze into the mix. Why not? Wouldn't that be great to have him back in the SEC? So it's going to be fun, Brandon, and we'll definitely be keeping locked to Locked On Gators for all the information over these next couple weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Gordy.
All right, there he is, Brandon Olson, Locked On Gators. When we return, we will get to our winners of the weekend, Week 12 in the SEC. That's next. Of course, another weekend in the books when it comes to college football. If you haven't been using the Prize Picks app yet, what are you waiting for? Time is running out here. If you're a college football fanatic and you haven't tried Prize Picks yet, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you guys will too. They are a leader in the college sports daily fantasy category. They offer more college football props than anybody in the world. They got everything you could think of, every sport, NFL, college football, basketball. They got it all for you. They offer any prop you could think of, from yardage to touchdowns, interceptions thrown, and all of our users that deposit and sign up, if you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKED, you're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. What are you waiting for? Get on there right now. Use their award-winning app. You can get on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. They offer fast and safe withdrawals. Again, use our promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up. Prize Picks apps. Sign up today, and it will be awesome. You'll be having fun watching sports. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. And we got so much to do. Let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into it. Let's get to our winners of the weekend in SEC Week 12.
Winner. And now, your winners of the weekend.
Real winners win.
And we start in Tuscaloosa as Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. Look, on a day where Heisman hopeful Michigan State running back Kenneth Walker, he got bottled up by Ohio State. Alabama QB Bryce Young had probably the most impressive showing of any of the Heisman hopefuls. His team beats Arkansas 42-35, but Young is 31 for 40 for a record 559 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, no turnovers, second most yards in an SEC game in history, behind KJ Costello, who of course did it in the opener last year against LSU. Bryce was poised, he was calm, he made all the throws his team needed, and he was mighty impressive. Jameson Williams, while he had 190 of those yards and 3 touchdowns, big shout out to him. John Metchie, not to be outdone, he had 10 catches for 173 and a score. But it seems like the Heisman could very well come down to how well Bryce Young plays in the SEC title game in 2 weeks against Georgia. Maybe not even need to win the game, because if he puts on a show against that Georgia defense, it'd be very impressive. He leads the SEC currently in passing touchdowns with 38, leads the SEC in passer rating. He is second in yardage just behind Will Rogers. A really eye-popping day from Bryce Young on a day where his defense wasn't at their best. Another winner of the weekend. How about the Georgia defense? They're in here every week. We knew it would be a lopsided affair hosting Charleston Southern, but Georgia takes care of business, 56-7, four sacks, an interception, held Charleston Southern to just 126 yards of offense. They were 3-for-20 on third downs. It was a day where they were able to basically call it a day for a lot of their bigger names on defense, working some backups to get some experience. But now just a road trip to Georgia Tech stands in their way to finish a perfect 12-0 before they'll take on Alabama in the SEC championship game. So impressive, 11 games into the season and allowing just a touchdown per game. That is still the leader in the nation in points allowed. Oklahoma State and actually Texas A&M, they're tied for second, but they're giving up just over two touchdowns per game. Can't say enough of what Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning have done with this defense this year. And big Jordan Davis got to lead the Georgia band, got to punch it into the end zone. That was cool for him. Another winner of the weekend, Shane Beamer. Look, for South Carolina fans who were realistic with themselves, I think a lot of them thought, okay, five wins is probably realistic for this year. We're not going to a bowl game. But Shane Beamer done a fantastic job already in year one. And this Saturday, his Gamecocks upset Auburn 21-17 to improve to 6-5 on the year, and they are going bowling. Quarterback Jason Brown, he threw for three touchdowns. Zaquandre White and Kevin Harris, they combined for 160 total rushing yards. Got a little help from a punt that grazed an Auburn returner's leg late, but I don't think any of us had Shane Beamer beating Florida and Auburn in his first season in Columbia. And if you saw his post-game interviews, surrounded by his family, getting choked up, you could see some good things are on the horizon for Gamecock fans. So congrats to you guys. Another winner of the weekend, Mr. Eli Drinkwitz over at Mizzou. About 2 weeks ago, Missouri was 4-5, just 1-4 in the SEC, going nowhere fast. We all left them for dead. Well, kudos to Eli Drinkwitz and his crew. They found a way to get into a defensive battle with Florida, force it into overtime. Florida even scores first to take the lead. Then Tyler Beatty punches it into the end zone. Presumably, they're going to tie it, go to a double overtime. But Drinkwitz says, no, we're going for two. Mizzou gets it. They get the win. They beat Florida 24-23 in overtime. So back-to-back weeks now, Mizzou's defense, which was awful earlier in the year. Remember, they gave up 62 to Tennessee? That same Mizzou defense helped lead them to wins over South Carolina 2 weeks ago and against Florida this past week. And Mizzou now 6-5 overall. A road trip to Arkansas remains to finish things off. Also, big shout out to Drinkwitz after the Florida game last year on Halloween. Dan Mullen, of course, showed up in a Darth Vader costume. So in his postgame presser this year, Drinkwitz pulled up his hood, held a lightsaber, and said, may the force be with you. Congrats to him on turning this thing around. It could have gotten really ugly there these last couple weeks for Missouri. Another winner of the weekend. How about Vol fans? For a program that was in a whole heap of trouble just a few months ago, Josh Heupel has really turned things around very quickly. They beat up South Alabama 60-14 on Saturday to improve to 6-5 overall. Heupel became just the fifth head coach to reach a bowl in his first season at Tennessee. Hendon Hooker, he really played well this year. He was 17-20 this week, 273 and two touchdowns, also had a rushing touchdown. Vol fans should be really happy after all the crap they went through in recent years with Jeremy Pruitt, Jared Garantano, Jim Chaney, Kevin Steele, the NCAA investigation. The list goes on and on and on. But Vol fans, you should be proud of where your program is. The arrow is pointing upward. And a chance here to finish with seven wins if you beat Vandy should go to a pretty decent bowl game. Yeah, a chance to get eight wins in year one would be huge for Josh Heupel. Next up, winner of the weekend, I got Will Rogers, the Mississippi State quarterback. All he does is put up big-time numbers this week. They beat up Tennessee State 55-10. They improved to 7-4 overall. I did not see Mississippi State getting to 7-4 going to the Egg Bowl. But Rodgers, he was 28 for 34, 391 yards, 5 passing touchdowns. He is second in all of college football in passing yards. He far and away leads the SEC in total passing yards ahead of Bryce Young and Matt Corral. He's second in passing touchdowns with 34, just behind Bryce Young. Quite a step up from the 11 he threw a year ago. And the crazy part is he's only a true sophomore. Mike Leach will get one, maybe even two more years out of him. Crazy to think what he can do if Will Rogers keeps improving there. But a big game this week against Ole Miss and Starkville coming up on Thanksgiving night. And lastly, another winner of the weekend. I got Matt Corral. A solid finish at home with a 31-17 win over Vandy. A game where he was 27 for 36, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also rushed for 29 yards. But I threw Matt Corral in the winner category this week, mainly because of what happened after the game. Lane Kiffin said he wasn't sure if he wanted to rip into the team after the game, after they kind of had a lackluster performance overall against Vandy. Instead, he said Matt Corral did the job for him. Kiffin said Corral postgame was yelling at his offense in the locker room, saying, "Don't you dare go out partying tonight. Don't do anything. That's embarrassing how we're playing, and this ain't going to happen again. If we do, we're going to get our butts kicked next week." So kudos to Matt Corral, bringing a winner mentality, albeit after a win. But Ole Miss, they improved to 9-2 overall, and the stage is set for what should be an awesome Egg Bowl coming up on Thanksgiving night. When we return here on Locked On SEC, I will give you our honorable mentions of the weekend. Some deserved people in there. We'll get to that in just a second. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Built Bar is still the best tasting protein bar ever. If you have not tried Built Bar by now, you're missing out. Look, you're going to eat a lot of food this week. And frankly, you're probably getting a lot of calories eating other junk throughout the week. Grab a protein bar, and not just any protein bar, grab a Built Bar, because a Built Bar doesn't taste like a protein bar. You got to try one to believe it, but they are covered in 100% real chocolate, soft. When you bite into it, you know you're eating something different, more of an experience, one that you're going to enjoy. Built Bars are low in carb, low in calorie, low in fat, low in sugar, high in protein. So you get all the healthy benefits on top of it just being purely delicious, and so many different flavors, from the salted caramel, the coconut almond, the double chocolate, the mint brownie, my favorite. Try them all. Check them out at built.com. Of course, they got new limited time flavors coming all the time. So check out their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. Get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off over at built.com. Going along here, Locked On SEC, and we give you our winners of the weekend. Our loser of the weekend, of course, was just dedicated to Dan Mullen. Thank you again to Brandon Olson for joining us. But let's get into our honorable mentions of the weekend. Plenty to discuss here. And look, some of these kind of partially winners, but not all the way there. We'll start with Arkansas. Look, they had a really rough first quarter against Alabama, especially offensively. But they woke up. They scored 21 second-half points, including a touchdown on a fake field goal. They laid it all out there. And obviously the defense gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points, but that was one of Arkansas's closest games in Tuscaloosa in quite a while. They lost 42-35. KJ Jefferson, he threw for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Treylon Burks was unguardable, 8 catches for 179 yards and 2 scores. But definitely a hat tip to Arkansas hanging around this one, keeping it close. They'll finish things off this Friday hosting Mizzou. Another honorable mention from the weekend, I got Tank Bigsby. Auburn lost 21-17 at South Carolina in a game where they did not score a point in the fourth quarter. But don't blame this loss on Tank Bigsby. He was a workhorse in this one. 22 carries, 164 yards, and a touchdown. He also had a 24-yard catch. Auburn lost, but Bigsby was not the reason why. I'll give a mention to TJ Finley, who played decent enough, being thrust into that starting role following the injury to Bo Nix a week ago. Threw some early touchdowns, but a chance for Finley and Bigsby to really show what they can do this week against an Alabama defense that has been susceptible to giving up points and yardage this season, but they're going to have to bring it. Another honorable mention, I got Tyler Beatty. Odd to put the SEC's leading rusher in the honorable mention category, especially in a game where he had 27 carries for 146 yards on the score. But Tyler Beatty continues to be the recipe for success for Mizzou. He has helped lead them to 6 wins, 1,385 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns, leads the SEC. He was fourth in the nation in rushing yards. Senior running back finishing his career on a super high note. And he will definitely be playing somewhere next year. NFL, somebody's going to give him a shot. Shout out to Tyler Beatty. He has had a heck of a season. Another honorable mention this week, I'm going to throw it to Will Levis, the Kentucky quarterback. He had a couple of rough performances down the stretch of this year. Had a really nice game against New Mexico State this past weekend. 419 yards, 4 passing touchdowns. It was his first 400 career career passing game, and he was not sacked. His 23 passing touchdowns this year, that's got him 7th most in a season in Kentucky history. The Cats, they wrap up their regular season against Louisville this Saturday. And if Will Levis throws 4 touchdowns, he'll be right there slotted in the 5th most passing touchdowns in a season at Kentucky, behind only seasons from Andre Woodson and Tim Couch. So Will Levis put himself in rarefied air there. Another honorable mention this weekend, I'm throwing it to Jimbo Fisher. The Aggies whooped up on Prairie View A&M 52-3 to improve to 8-3 overall. They'll get their regular season finale this weekend heading to LSU. But this win means Jimbo has won at least 8 games every season since he's been in College Station. Been there 4 years, a 34-13 record so far. By contrast, Kevin Sumlin, he was 31-20 in his last 4 years at A&M. So the record slightly upgraded, and the national relevance is there. The win over Bama this year was big. With the Aggies set to get a big-time recruiting class this year, they may have the number one recruiting class when it's all said and done. Can A&M finally take that leap next year into possibly winning the SEC West, getting to Atlanta? We will see, but a hat tip to Jimbo Fisher. Another honorable mention this week, how about Mike Leach? Picked up his 150th career victory on Saturday. He is now 11-11 in his 2 seasons in Starkville, but certainly trending upward. And just for contrast, in win totals, Leach just surpassed Frank Broyles for all-time coaching victories. With one more win, he will tie Philip Fulmer. With 3 more wins, he'll tie Pat Dye. And with 9 more wins, he'll tie Tommy Tuberville for 56 all-time in coaching victories. So pretty solid accomplishment for Mike Leach getting to 150. He's been doing this a while and doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. Lastly, our honorable mention of the weekend, I'm going with Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver. We know Kayshon Boutte. We know Jack Besh. Enter true freshman LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. He had 4 catches, 143 yards, and a touchdown this week. LSU beat UL Monroe 27-14. Wasn't all that impressive. The LSU head coaching search will continue, but whoever gets this job, hopefully they get an offensive-minded coach, because he will have a ton of weapons to work with. Nabers showing this week he's just another one of those talented pieces. So solid breakout day for Malik Nabers. And there you have it. Those are our honorable mentions for Week 12 in the SEC. That is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. My thanks again to Brandon Olson for joining us, talking us the latest on Dan Mullen's firing. And folks, we got 2 big-time head coaching openings in the SEC to talk about over these next couple of weeks. Of course, Coach O is going to get his send-off against A&M this weekend in Baton Rouge. Can he go out with a victory? It would be a big exclamation point for that program. And got to think they're going to make a hiring decision announcement in the days following that game. So this will come very quickly. Florida, I got to get the ball rolling here very quickly. Didn't think they'd be letting Dan Mullen go, but you got to think that staff has been on the phones, maybe gauging some interest here the last couple days, knowing this could be coming. So we'll have you covered on the full Florida and LSU head coaching searches. More to come, maybe? Let's hope not. Been some great accomplishments for some SEC coaches this year. We'll see if everybody else is back. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys for listening to Locked On SEC. We'll be back talking to you guys tomorrow. Locked On Bets, quick reminder, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. I'm Chris Gordy. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On SEC.